Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As ever, if you want to get in touch with me, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. I'll answer your questions in the next part of the show. So do get them into me and I will answer as many as I can. I want to give a quick mention to our book club, because Cameron and Kira are going to be back in the week after next to review John Carreyrou's book, Bad Blood, which tells the story of Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. We have spoken about Elizabeth Holmes on this program so many times. She is, I personally find her story, her presence in the media, in the tech landscape, utterly fascinating. And John Carreyrou's book is just an incredible tale. It is stranger than fiction. But that is our book club pick. So you've got 2 weeks, well, less than 2 weeks now, really, to read it. I would also recommend the audiobook. It's great. I have been listening to it. I was off last week and I was listening to it again on Audible, and it's just great. It's so captivating from the word go. But if you do read along with us, let me know what you think. Drop me an email, techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, you may remember on this very show a few months back, we were talking about the use of artificial intelligence in HR. So this is something that's been done for quite a while, but AI has been utilized to try and speed up the recruitment process. We focused in on the new legislation that will force companies to ensure that potential employees aren't discriminated against during the recruitment process by any form of technology. And that interview led to an interesting number of emails from listeners to the show around the meaningful implementation of diversity and inclusion policies in the workplace. And I'm delighted to say that Caroline Cummins, who is the director of the Irish Centre for Diversity, is with me now. Caroline, thank you so much for your time. Can you just tell me a little bit about the work that you and your team do, please?
Sure. And thank you for having me on, Jess. I really appreciate it. So the Irish Centre for Diversity are basically an organisation that help businesses across all across Ireland from all sectors embed equality, diversity, inclusion into everything they do. And we do that through a number of ways. We do it through our accreditation called Investors in Diversity, which is a framework to help organisations understand where they are, how to improve and how to measure their improvement. And we also do a huge amount of diversity inclusion training. We've trained about 35,000 people in the last few years, everything from inclusive leadership, inclusive language, LGBTQ plus in the workplace, all the different courses. And we also run Ireland's only national dedicated D&I awards that happens February each year, recognizing excellence across a number of different areas. So pretty much a one-stop shop for all things diversity and inclusion related, Jess.
Yeah, I'm always interested to have these conversations because I think there are still people who, when they hear terms like diversity, equality and inclusion, they'll just roll their eyes or take a big sigh going, you know, that's just box ticking. But we know from research, and there is data there to back it up, that by having a more diverse, inclusive and equal workforce, it is better for your bottom line. We know that it makes teams happier, that they're more well-rounded and your services are better because you're speaking to more customers and so on. So that old way of thinking is very outdated, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think there was, I mean, you know, when we talk about McKinsey and Deloitte reports, sometimes there's more eye rolling because people are like, well, that's a report in the States or somewhere else. But there is a Deloitte report that says if you can increase your inclusion by 10%, you win back a day for every employee. So that just goes, that helps the bottom line. But I think it's really about trying to get everyone in your organization to understand it's not about them or, you know, inclusion is about every single person in the organization. Everyone that comes to work has a different upbringing, background, life experience that shapes who they are as an individual. And inclusion and diversity is about understanding that difference and embracing and being inclusive of it. So diversity is about every person in the organization. So when people roll their eyes at these initiatives and things, well, actually, they're for you too.
Yeah, I still think there's a bit of work to be done. And this is just my own observation in terms of letting people know what is meaningful diversity, inclusion and equality, rather than just text on a page, particularly when it comes to policies in the workplace. Like every company, I'm sure, has a policy, but how do you ensure that it is meaningful and assess that it does cater to real needs and provide real supports.
Yeah, I mean, obviously policies need to exist and, you know, they need to underpin what an organisation is trying to do. But policies alone can't create culture change unless they're lived. I mean, part of our Investors in Diversity framework at the bronze level, we review all the people policies with the D&I lens to look at how inclusive they are. We look at how they're communicated to staff, because just having policies isn't enough. You have to make sure people are aware of them, that they're trained in them. And we also train leaders. But then we, at our silver Investors in Diversity silver level, we run the full staff survey, which is where our inclusion score comes from, where we ask people, do you understand these policies? Do you follow these policies? And sometimes we see organizations that have great policies, they are communicating them, but for some reason there's a kind of frozen layer because people are saying to us, well, we're not aware of them, we don't follow them, but we're actually going, well, we've seen them, we know you have them. But you know, it's about how we communicate and understanding that in an organization everyone is different, and just sending out an email might work for somebody, it's not going to work for everyone. So it's about being creative about how you communicate with your employees.
Yeah, I also think there's a bit of work perhaps to be done, and this is just anecdotally, in terms of empowering people and enabling people to evoke the powers and the policies that are in, you know, employee handbooks up and down this country in businesses. Because it's one thing to have the text on the page, but it's another thing to tell people and encourage people to say, you know, I might need extra support, or maybe we need more diverse voices working on X project or Y project and so on. How do we go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's about the difference between a policy and a lived and live document. And when we do work with organizations and design or write policies for them, it is about saying to people, if it's in here, then you have to live and breathe it as well. So you need to make sure people that, you know, are aware of it and that they follow it and they know where to go and they know who to talk to. We do get a lot of organizations now that put in place diversity champions. So there's people across the business that are trained and understand, you know, what people can and can't avail of. So if they're unsure, they just go and speak to their D&I champion and say, look, you know, I was hoping to have this support, or I was hoping to have this flexibility or whatever it might be. Is this something that our business is going to offer? And they're kind of making sure that there's that communication gap doesn't exist then, because obviously they can bring that back to the wider team with questions.
Yeah, and I think I'm just not trying to just point out all the issues, but I do think sometimes there's an assumption that gender diversity and inclusion only applies to issues of gender and race. But that's not the case. There's a broad spectrum of definitions, I guess, when it comes to these issues. You know, people may need extra supports for dyslexia, for example, or they may have family members who have extra needs, so they need greater flexibility. There's more than one definition here.
But if you look at that, if you think about diversity is about difference, we're all difference, and diversity includes us all. So if you have people in your organization, you're dealing with diversity. So it's something you have to, you know, consider and take into account about the different sorts of people in your organization, because one size doesn't fit all. Even if you look at, you know, if you have disabled people in your organization, they're not all going to need the same support. So you have to look at each and every individual person and what they might need and what supports they might need. So just writing a policy, a blanket policy, is not going to work. It's about understanding that maybe there needs to be some room and flexibility and changes within that, depending on the needs of the individual within your organization.
And this is something that can help with staff retention, right? Because if people feel like they're seen and they're heard and they're included and they're catered for, they're much more likely to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basic fairness by anyone. You know, I've got two young kids, and from a very young age, that's not fair would come out of their mouth if they didn't get what they want. If people are going into the workplace and not feeling they're getting fair opportunities, fair chances to progress or to be supported or to be themselves within the workplace, why would they want to stay there? They'll go somewhere else. They'll try something else. You know, we spend 8 hours a day in work. A lot of us do. You need to be happy in your workplace. You need to enjoy the time that you have there. So I think it's really important to take that into account, you know, when you're thinking about retaining your workforce as well. We want a happy workforce, because a happy workforce will stay.
Yeah. And if companies want to improve their inclusion score or, you know, test the live and breathability of their policies, where do they start and how do they ensure that they are empowering their staff to utilise these policies?
Sure. So our inclusion score is based on the anonymous staff survey to ask people, how they feel when they come into work. Do they feel their organization is fair, equitable, and inclusive to them? Do they feel that they get opportunities? Do they feel that there are maybe barriers to their career progression because of their age, race, gender, or so on, or they get treated differently in a bad way because of their background? And based on the responses of that, we pull together an inclusion score, so on how included people feel within the workplace, on the positive sentiment of those questions. However, it's not just about the score. What we have is a huge amount of opportunity for people to come and to tell us why they feel the way they do, because obviously understanding that something's really good or that there's challenges is all well and good, but if we don't understand why, then we don't know how to improve it. So part of it is, yes, we give the organizations their inclusion score, but then one of our D&I consultants will review all the scoring, the data, all the comments to look for themes to understand, kind of why things are the way they are. And then we put together some recommendations and we write an action plan for an organization in terms of what they need to do to improve. They deliver on that. And that's why we're seeing 100% of our organizations are improving. So, I mean, basically, if you talk to your staff and ask them how they feel about different areas of inclusion and diversity, and then you feedback to them, this is what we learned and this is what we're going to do with it. And then you do what you say you were going to do. And then you go and ask them again, you will see a more positive response because people will feel heard. And they'll feel that their organization is changing based on their feedback.
Awesome stuff. Look, there is plenty of food for thought there, and I will give out the website in just a quick second. But for the moment, Caroline Cummins, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jess. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was Caroline Cummins of the Irish Centre for Diversity. Their website has a whole host of information and supports and guidance and advice as well, which is an excellent resource to have. So again, it is the Irish Centre for Diversity. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll meet the Irish PhD student who has just created a jelly battery.